Venom 3, Henry Cavill bound for MCU, Ready Player One sequel, Scream 7, Halo Episode 7, and Invincible Season 2, Episode 5, the utter bloodbath that an episode that was. And I'd like to welcome everyone back to a full episode, guys. But you know what comes up first?
Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Lights, Camera, Rant, and I'd like to say thank you very much for everyone who's coming past on the live episodes, as well as on the repeats too. Ty, how about Star Wars? Well, actually, I do have a little bit of Star Wars news today. Interesting about Rogue One Squadron. That's going to be interesting. That is happening, isn't happening, but we're going to dive into that. I would also like to say that... First things first, a little bit of business and housekeeping is that we will be having a review coming out this week for Wicked Little Letters. I was lucky enough to get a ticket from Studio Canal to go see the premiere. It was fantastic. But there was a couple of things that I would tweak into it, but we will dive into that in the episode, so stay tuned. But as you guys know, we're going to dive into the pop culture news, which we've got a bit that's happened in the past week. So grab a can, sit on the couch. If you're driving, take it easy. We're going to dive in. So the very first thing I want to talk about is that MCU Henry Cavill is now, the other week, Henry Cavill was rumored the fact that he has signed on to the MCU. He signed on to a role, which we did hear that, and that was fine. That was bound for something. Cool news. Henry Cavill will be a great addition to the MCU. However, the other little bit of news that we got was that it's possibly going to be for Deadpool 3, and he's going to be a Wolverine variant. Now, I would have to say, like, I'm cool if he's in that. Hell yes, if he's going to be a Wolverine variant, even though he's very tall. So I would rather him be a Cyclops variant than a Wolverine variant in between. And I would rather him also have a bigger role than just playing as a variant in a particular film. Like, don't get me wrong, him appearing is going to be absolutely great. But I'd probably either a Cyclops variant or a different role, you know, which there's been a lot that's come up, you know. There's been Captain Britain. There's been the Cyclops. I would love to see him actually being, even if it's not Cyclops, not Wolverine, my third pick, if he could, he would be a Captain America variant. I think he would have been perfect as Captain America. Yes, take away his British accent, and because we know he can do a perfect American accent, obviously, because of Man of Steel, but I think he'd be great in that. Being Captain America variant and would suit it to a T. But yes, Henry Cavill is absolutely MCU bound, and what shape or form it's going to take is up for grabs, whether or not it's going to be a cameo in Deadpool 3 or it's going to be his own role. For me, I hope it's his own role, but that's ticking along. I would love to know what role or what would you like to see Henry Cavill be in the MCU? Do you want a small role or do you want a big role? And which iconic character do you want to see him take up? Next, which I totally forgot that this was in production. So we all know that, was it last year? Last year or the year before? That Among Us. Now, this was a game that you could play with your friends. You could get it on your iPhone or just on your Samsung, it doesn't matter, or your iPad, whatever. It was a very small game that you could play, and basically you're on a space station with a whole bunch of astronauts, and you're also trying to find who's trying to kill everyone. One person plays the killer, and you have to be very sneaky. Absolutely blew up. I think it actually could have been because of COVID times. And it actually blew up even more. I haven't heard anyone talk about among us for a very long time, actually, until this actually popped up because I forgot this was in production, is that there's going to be an animated movie of Among Us. And today we also, yesterday, they announced the cast. So we've got Randall Park, Elijah Wood, Ashley Johnson, Yvette Nicole Brown, which you would obviously know from Lord of the Rings, from the MCU, Community, from Last of Us. These iconic voice actors are going to be voicing these characters. Now, there's very little details on what the plot will, well, expand the plot on what we think it's going to be. But Among Us is coming. There's no particular release date for this. However, it's rumored to be the end of 2024, early 2025. We did get a small little behind the scenes photo of just like in the space station with no characters. But that is coming around. That's going to be coming around the corner. It's not far. So hopefully this year, but it's, yeah, as I said, I totally forgot this was a production, but it is coming. Obviously, thank you very much to the Game Junction Podcast for coming past the live. Didn't know you were going live. It's 2 a.m. What time is it? Right now it is 5 o'clock, which is why I have opened a can and started drinking because we're podcasting, we're ranting, we're raving. So it's the perfect time to start drinking. And it's actually quite hot too. So if anyone who's watching and my skin looks a little bit glittery, it's because I've got no aircon and I can't have the fan on because, of course, it makes a noise, which is really annoying. But yes, Among Us animated film is coming this year. Also, now I'm going to love this. So there is going to be a brand new Teen Titans movie, live action movie that is in production. No release date right now, but it is on its way. And I did see someone's comment going, oh, look, DC is getting ahead of the Young Avengers before the MCU. Now, I have a problem with that comment because let's be honest, DC is about to go through its fourth reboot. So of course they can jump onto the Teen Titans live action movie a lot sooner than what Marvel can with the Young Avengers, which they are working on. But you know, the funny thing is with the MCU, they haven't had to reboot 4 times because Warner Bros. Doesn't give a lot of attention to detail or commitment or trust to their actors or directors. So that's why it's an absolute shit show. But under James Gunn, we trust. But yes, the Teen Titans movie is, I wouldn't say it's around the corner, but it is production. Obviously, the TV show has ended. So this movie, I would say, end of 2025, 2026, I would say around that mark. Game Junction, you need to start drinking on the Game Junction podcast to get those. Now, the reason why I don't start drinking on the Game Junction podcast is that we start so early and apparently it's frowned upon to start drinking at 10 o'clock. If you don't think it's bad drinking at 10 o'clock, then please comment. And if it's fine, then I will. I will take a shot first thing off the bat to get that podcast going. Also, Game Junction, Teen Titans, Young Avengers. DC has sucked ass, but as a franchise, nobody knows who Young Avengers are. Yes, that is a really good point. So I'd say more the common viewer is going to know Teen Titans more than the Young Avengers. Now, that's not because Marvel's fault. It's because DC has had the animated show, which did really well, and then you got Teen Titans Go that did fantastic, and then they did the live action show. So even though there has been a live action movie of Teen Titans, there's been a lot in the background and with the comics opposed to the Young Avengers. Now, there was the Young Avengers movie that came out about, I would say about 2012, 2011. That's probably when it roughly came out, but there hasn't been much talk since then about the Young Avengers. We know who the lineup of the Young Avengers is going to be in the MCU. We've known that for some time, but the Teen Titans will have a bigger, more brand awareness, you will, compared to the Young Avengers. Now, for me, as well as the debates, like, do you go the young Teen Titans or do you go more adult Teen Titans? Which basically to me is like, do you have Robin or do you have Nightwing? I would say it depends how they do the film, because I would love to see a young Titans in the movie, and then in the sequel they become their older versions. I think that would be such a good production. You know, give it like 5 years, you know, teenage to above, that would be great. But at the same time, if they do make this movie, don't shy away from particular areas. You know, straight out say Batman, so straight out say who, like, every other character they're related to. Don't be like, oh yeah, we all know who Robin's teacher is. Wink, wink. Like, don't do that. Now, in Titans, the Titans TV show, they did do that in the first version, which I'm not too sure if that was because they can't say the name or was very different. Oh, yeah, they couldn't go that level. But I don't want them to do that. I want them to be able to say pretty much what they did in the TV show. I would like to do the live-action TV show, because we didn't have Batman. It makes sense. I would like to say hello to Mr. Mark My Words on the YouTube chat. Thank you for coming past, man. If you haven't started drinking, I think you should start drinking now. But yes, now Teen Titans movie is in development. But as I said, we're probably looking about 2020, end of 2025, 2026, around that mark. Which at the same time, by that time we will have Superman, we will have a Supergirl movie. We're also going to have the Commandos. All in between, but that is coming well. Say less. Also, Game Junction, Cartoon Network's studio was directly involved, really, so that's why. Oh, there you go. That's why, because Cartoon Network's studio was directly involved in the Teen Titans TV show. That would be why there was a little bit cancer the Batman, but it was alluded to. Now, speaking of Batman, which this was 100% no shocker to anybody, that the Batman 2 has been delayed. So not only has it's been delayed by 12 months. It's coming out on October the 2nd, 2026. Now, the reason why this is no surprise is because there was very little information. And also to mention, I forgot the actor's name that plays Commissioner Gordon, said he hadn't even seen the script yet, and it were in March. So that's really big signs of the fact that we've heard nothing. It does suck that it's coming out in 2026, because I'm very excited to see the Batman 2, especially if they go with the Mr. Freeze angle. And I don't want the Arnie Mr. Freeze. I want Batman, the animated series Mr. Freeze. I want Arkham Freeze. That's the one I want. But yes, that is being delayed. No shocker, so no surprise. And look, when it was coming out, it was still going to be very packed. Like, next year is going to be very packed with superhero films, like what we had a couple of years ago. So I think it's well worth giving it a break, and giving it a little bit more opportunity in 2026, opposed to being in the middle of the shuffle. Because remember, next year we're going to have Superman Legacy, Fantastic Four, Thunderbolts. There is a lot. And yes, Mark, yes, I'm Mr. Freeze. Out of everybody, I feel like Mr. Freeze will be the perfect person to go into the Matt Reeves universe and come out, and like, it will all make sense. And funny enough, Game Junction, don't forget we're doing a video on Godzilla Kong. It's right around the corner. That is right. So it's funny, actually, because Mr. Mark My Words in our group chat said, don't forget about Godzilla versus Kong, and we need to buy tickets, which I don't think tickets are on sale yet. Because they're on sale yet, but they could be right around the corner. We just bought tickets last week for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which we are going to be reviewing next week. Yes, they are. Okay, yes, they are. Godzilla versus Kong tickets are on sale right now, so we need to get them quickly. Speaking of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, I was absolutely gutted. I know there's things Australia gets that, you know, Europe gets, doesn't get, America doesn't get. But I saw the other day that they posted that, I think AMC Theatres, was that you could get a Ghost Trap popcorn box. I'm like, come on, why can't we do have those things? Why can't we have something like that? Like, we used to, before COVID, we used to get tins for every single movie. Which I had a very large collection of that, which I had to get rid of because my partner told me, and we moved house, had to get rid of a good portion of it. So I was so annoyed, but ever since after COVID, it's been a hit and miss on tins. Like, we did get a tin for Miss Marvel, but that was about it. And then we did get, what movie was it? Mean Girls. I think Mean Girls, we got something. So it's really shitty that we don't get that thing. So I would buy that Ghostbusters popcorn tin in a heartbeat. We didn't even get the Dune bucket with the sandworm that you could, you know, have sex with. Like, you couldn't, like, I was like, oh, come on, I want my bucket with the extra cream. Nah, we didn't even get that. It was just a normal bucket. So I still made use of it. Anyway. What was I going to say? Yeah, more bucket. Yeah, exactly right. Mr. Mark Rose, more buckets. Well, not more buckets, but more personalized buckets. Not just a tin just with a logo on it. Like, I remember when we got the Logan Wolverine and you got the drink cup and it had like three pongs in it. And I was like, that's cool. But lately, it just seems like Australia, for movies-wise, is just like that. And yes, Mr. Mike Words, monkey fight lizard. Right, let me rephrase it. Monkey fight lizard makes me happy. That's good. Boy, even Village got the Wonka hat. That was cool. Yes, I saw the Wonka hats. Village did it. So the main theaters we have ever in Australia here are Village, Hoyts, and of course we've got IMAX, and the closest to us regularly we go to Hoyts because they serve alcohol, and it just made everything a lot better. And not to mention they have a line of seats, which, you know, is very nice. You do pay that a little bit extra, but that's really good. But you know, it just seems such a hit and miss between each theater. Like, if they told me that you had to go to Village or you have to go to this very small theater to go get that Ghostbusters popcorn bucket, I'll be there. I would be straight effing there to go get it. So absolutely preach more buckets. Hashtag Mr. Rand, more buckets Australia. That's, yeah, when I get that trending. What was it? Game Junction. I don't have an AMC close to me. It's almost 2-hour drive, so I go to a small owned theater. Hey, that's, hopefully this small owned theater still gets you some good shit, man. And the buckets opposed to what we get over here. Now, that's oh, I love you, Mark. I love you. Hashtag Mr. Rant. I love you. Best man. Now, we also got in the past week The Crow. Now, there was a lot of mixed emotions about this movie. People going, this looks like Jared Leto. This looks like a mess. This looks like shit. I'm just reeling off everything. I go on TikTok. Never forget I Game Junction. Never forget I named you Mr. Rant. I won't forget that. I won't forget that. But yeah, so it was going on the fact that you know, watching this trailer, I didn't dislike the trailer. And I don't know if it's just me, but I didn't dislike it at all. I thought it was all right. I got a bit of a mix of John Wick vibes with it, just how brutal it is. Like, action horror, would you call it? Action horror, in that sense. Like, yes, Bill Skarsgård does look like Jared Leto. Like, we do have that. But at the same time, maybe it's a mix. Like, even though it's, I wouldn't write it off for anyone. Like, maybe this could be one of those movies where you have to wait to see the second trailer before you make that full comment. But I'd love to know, what did you guys think of The Crow trailer? I did have from the Three Little Pigs podcast, they messaged me saying originally when we were talking about it, he was like, this looks shit, this looks awful. And then he messaged me after the trailer and he was like, I'm in, say no more. Mr. Game Junction, The Crow looks so bad, I'm watching it. I'll be back on the big movies grind to review all these again. I love The Crow so much, I read every comic series. Well, it's good you're going to watch it, man. Like, I only watched The Crow for the first time 5 years ago or 6 years ago. I watched The Crow for the very first time. Actually, no. Probably 8 years ago, I watched The Crow for the very first time because I never watched it, but there was a couple of people that were like, you know, you should watch it. This is iconic. It's the same kind of breath that you put in, like Ghostbusters, Indiana Jones, Back to the Future, Terminator 2, it's something you really need to watch. And for anyone who hasn't watched The Crow, I really do recommend it. Yes, it is very bloody. But you do see a lot of Heath Ledger's Joker vibes into it for obvious reasons. It's a very infamous movie for everyone who doesn't know. Unfortunately, one of the key things about this movie is that it has, unfortunately, the last performance of Brandon Lee, who is Bruce Lee's son, because what happened was a stunt went wrong and he got shot. Now, this movie did get right back up to light. What happened with Alec Baldwin? I was about to say Alec Baldwin just left Team America. I didn't mean to, but that's just the first thing that came out to me. But yeah, so that came out. That kept reason up again. But it is an absolute solid movie, and you cannot tell between the performance of Brandon Lee to when they had to do the stand-in for the last scenes. Mr. Game Junction, my dad really liked it when I was growing up. He was a Brandon Lee fan. It's very sad what happened to Brandon Lee. And from what I haven't seen any other Brandon Lee movies, but apparently they are also pretty good. It's just very sad what happened to him, and it's an absolute tragedy. Now, this is no shock. This is absolutely, when I saw this come up on my Instagram, I was like, of course. Like, of course it's going to happen. Nev Campbell is coming back for Scream 7. Now, the reason why I was not shocked is because, obviously, the two main stars from Scream 6 have left. One got fired, and obviously Jenna Ortega is stuck with Wednesday 2 and Beetlejuice. So originally, Neve Campbell didn't return for Scream 6, which she made it very public that they wouldn't pay the dosh for her coming back. So she was like, no, I'm out, which is fair. If you are the iconic face of the franchise and you don't get your pay, yes, you have every right to be annoyed and shitty. So that's fine. But Neve Campbell is coming back. Now, there is no release date for Scream 7. Again, we are looking at the end of 2025, early 2026. The shitty thing about this movie is that Scream 7 ended on such a good, like, not a cliffhanger, but this led to something really cool going into that. And, you know, even though Neve Campbell wasn't in Scream 6, it was leading on to the next generation. It was going to be moving forward for Scream 7. You weren't still, you know, Neve Campbell could leave peacefully and not come back. But she is coming back, so the movie's going to be very mixed on how they are going to make this, how it's going to make sense on what's happening, why there's another Ghostface killer. It's one of those franchises that, because now the new leading actors can't come back and it's being swift, you know, changed, I would say this is one of those franchises that you don't make Scream 7, end it, and give it a rest, reboot it in 10 years. That is my 100%. Exactly right, Mark. When you make a title called Scream 7, surely you gotta think time to stop. Exactly. Especially when you've lost the two main characters from the previous movie. So trying to write a script for it, it's gonna be, I wouldn't even want to touch it. Game Junction, don't you hate horror, good sir? I don't hate horror because I've done a review for Imaginary. I've done multiple reviews for different horror movies. I don't hate horror. I'm just a scaredy cat. And, you know, I will go to watch a horror movie, which I'm pretty sure the last horror movie that me and Mark went to, I was reading my Coke bottle while I was drinking because I got scared shitless, which we saw Baghead. Yeah, it was Baghead that we saw. So I don't not like horror. I'm just get scared really easily, but I love watching them because it's something different. You know, it's not a superhero flick. Don't get me wrong. I love superhero flicks, which is a big point of why this podcast got made. And I love watching these different type of movies. Like another movie that I really want to go see that's not horror and not superhero is Civil War, which the comments are saying the fact that this could be the movie of the year, and the trailer looks intense, and I can't wait to see that. That's on my listing too to go see. And you're right, Mr. Mike Words. Baghead was surprisingly good. We did a review of it. I did a review of it, and for probably the worst thing about the whole movie is I think it got bad titled. the title does not when you hear, oh, I went and saw Baghead, you're like, oh, that sounds shitty, but it was actually pretty good. So it's one of those movies where you're like, shitty title, solid movie. But yeah, Scream 7, it's don't have any hope. Don't have any hope. I wouldn't hold your breath or anything. I think, yeah, just, you know, pull the cord, end it. You don't need this anymore. Okay, Venom 3. Positive. Venom 3 has been moved forward from its November release date to October 25. But saying that, it's going to be called Venom 3, The Last Dance. And I don't... now, we were talking about this in the Game Direction podcast yesterday, was that this title is... I just made me think of Never Back Down, Just Dance, or every single dance movie that we've ever seen about it. I just don't understand the title. Like, you go from Venom, cool. Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage. Venom 3, The Last Dance. And we were talking about on the Games Action podcast that this could relate to a comic to do with Mary Jane. Now, Mary Jane might pop up in Venom 3. We've got to remember that Venom 3 takes place straight after Spider-Man No Way Home. It's an absolute continuation. We've seen set photos, and we've seen that, so we know that continues on. So there's, again, all we've got is the logo, which is very quite simple, and the title now, and the new release date. We know, and the fact that it's a continuation from the set photos, it's all we know about this film. So... how are we going to know? We don't know anything else about it. Now, who the villain is, anything like that, we know nothing. But we do know that this is Tom Hardy's last go-around playing in this Sony Venom trilogy. Kevin Feige has also gone on record that he is open to Tom Hardy being in Secret Wars as Venom. Mark my words, why is this the first time I thought of Marvel in so long? Yeah. I can tell you why, Mark. Now, this is a debate that me and Mark have had for a little while now. Not a debate, but, you know, when someone's already moved on, but you're clamoring on to hope, that's me. I'm clamoring to hope to the MCU. And I completely understand what Mark says and the fact that nothing's really exciting in the MCU. It's like, oh, cool. Thunderbolts, meh. Cat 4, meh. Fantastic Four, meh. And he has every right to be like that because of the, you know, if you looked at the graph of Marvel before Endgame, it's a little bit of dints up in here. Little bit dense, like, you know, for example, Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Thor 2, up like that. And then you keep going on that scale. But then obviously after Endgame, it's been a little up and down, all like this on the graph. So, and it's hard to bring that faith. But for example, last year, we had Ant-Man 3, which was dismal and gave us very little with Kang moving forward. Then we got Guardians of the Galaxy, which was a return to form and was an absolute win. And then we got the Marvels, which was not the worst Marvel movie, not the greatest. It was mid-tier. But it was still surprisingly refreshing. I'm not hanging on the Marvels. I still think it has where it's due. So that, you know, that's the thing. And this year we're getting Deadpool 3. And there's a lot riding on the Marvel for Deadpool 3 to be an absolute winner. So it could be the fact that instead of being more really hyped for these movies, it might be the fact that we just take these movies as they come, each one as they drop. Like, don't get me wrong, me and Mark Wist and the rest of our gang, we're still going to go to every single Marvel movie that's going to come out, but it just might be that we might just be more excited when we do get to see it. When myself, like, I'm excited for Deadpool 3. For me, next year, I'm more excited for Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts than I am for Cap 4. But at the same time, I can't wait to see Harrison Ford to join the MCU, which is going to be an absolute win. And what an absolute tangent we went on from this, from Venom 3. Well, Game Junction, realistically, you know, we talked about this. I wish Venom were the best movies. I love Carnage and Venom, but they're just not excellent films. They're not. My review was that the Leather of Carnage was just, like, it was just bad. Like, not bad, but it was just, like, really short and fast, and I'm sure there was a lot of on the table of cutting room floor for that film. And just how bad it is. Mr. Mike Roberts, moved in, baby. It's the year of the monkey-fying lizards. Yes. Game Junction on YouTube, Godzilla is everything. Mr. Mike, my words, lizard has purpose, monkey has love, together we fight for peace. Oh, Jesus. Again, Mr. sorry, Game Junction. Tip or three, I'm going to first to midnight showing. Do it. I predicted the fact that Deadpool 3 will make close to or just a little bit less than Spider-Man No Way Home. And the reason for being this is that, again, Deadpool's going to be in the MCU. Hugh Jackman is back as Wolverine. And there's nothing else coming from Marvel movie-wise. So everyone who's like, oh, I'll just wait until the next Marvel movie. There isn't one this year. So, yeah, I got to go to this one. Mr. Mike, my words, I'm holding my breath for Deadpool 3. With Marvel, blow it, or will they hit the reset button and do well? Well, here's the thing, is that besides all the shitty stuff that was going to happen, Marvel has had the reset button on plan this whole time. Secret Wars, Avengers Secret Wars, is the reset button for the MCU entirely. Because of all the multiverses, the universe is crashing, everything's going to happen. So Marvel has had the reset button on the horizon. Like, it's coming. And that's in Secret Wars. And whatever shape the MCU is going to look completely different after that. And it will be on record on the past and the present on what's going to happen. I'm really excited to see the Deadpool 3. Deadpool 3 2 trailer would be great to see and what happens next. And see who's going to pop. I saw that James Marsden recently said that he happened to be working right next to Deadpool 3, so you never know. And if James Marsden is in Deadpool 3 as Cyclops, I want to see the iconic, I want to see X-Men 97 suit comics. I want to see him in that. So surely they're going to do that for him. And don't forget, this week, X-Men 97 is going to be dropping as well. We got two episodes at the premiere, so get ready for that. We've got a very special guest that's going to be coming on when the X-Men 97 season one finishes for the final, which go check out our live schedule to find out who that is. X-Men 97, baby. That looks so good. But yes, there was a thing about X-Men 97 is one of the head's creators and writers did get fired. Before everyone goes, oh my God, what happened? He's recently, as of 24 hours, has gone on the record saying the fact that we've just parted ways. You'll find out. We'll just have to wait and see what happens on that. But season two is done. That is ready to start recording and everything. And season three is on the horizon. Ready Player One fans. Now, a few years ago, we got Ready Player One, which is a fantastic film with so many video game references. It was directed by Steven Spielberg, and it was an absolute solid film. I loved it. Now, this is based on a book of the same name, and it's been a little bit while since we've heard anything about it, because it's going to be cliche. Yes, there is a book, and it's called Ready Player 2. Shocker. But Steven Spielberg has gone on record saying the sequel is in development. He will not be directing. He will only be producing, which he has done on multiple different projects. So it's not the end of the world. He's not directing it. But I would love to see a sequel to this. It had so many pop culture references. There was the DeLorean for Back to the Future, and it was gorgeous. This is one of Steven Spielberg's best projects. And so I'm really excited for this. If it's in development, again, well, pretty much a lot of these films, we're looking at like 2026. There's no cast, there's no release date, there's no plot before anyone asks, but Ready Player One, Ready Player Two is currently in the works. So I can't wait for that. And it had, he's right. It had Optimus Prime. It had Spartans. This whole episode could be all the references in that movie, but it is on the way. Now, this is the kind of interesting. Oh no, I'm interested for it. No, I'm pretty down for this. So, Spider-Man Noir. Now, Nicolas Cage as Spider-Man Noir in Into the Spider-Verse was one of the standout characters. Everybody loved it. Yes, he wasn't in the sequel. He wasn't in the sequel as one of the main cast, but he did make an appearance. Now, there's been a whole lot of talk for Nicolas Cage that there's going to be an animated series for Spider-Man Noir. But just recently, Nicolas Cage came forward that there's even been discussions for a live-action TV show or movie that might be coming. But he said it's just been talks. And I would like to say, Mr. Game Junction, I'm trying hard to stay awake to do some support, but dang, I'm tired. Dude, that's fine. If you got to head off, that's totally fine. It's 2 o'clock in the morning on where you are, so I can't argue. But yes, Spider-Man Noir with Nicolas Cage could turn out to be a live action movie or TV show. Would you want to see that? Sorry. Would you want to see that? What kind of shape or form would you want to take that in? And do you want to see Nicolas Cage do it in his iconic Nicolas Cage fashion? I'd love to know what you guys think on how it's going to be. Yeah, but Spider-Man Noir could be coming in his own movie, TV show, or animated. There's a lot on the talks. Now, Star Wars. Now, this is weird. I wasn't really... Okay. So, Patty Jenkins, who directed Wonder Woman 1 and 2, this movie, Rogue Squadron, was currently works. It was announced, at which she was working on. And then after a few years... it said the project was cancelled, and it was done due to scheduling, creative differences, you name it. But then she's recently just kind of saying she's back working on the project. Now, I read it, I was like, okay, so was the film ever cancelled, or was it just put on hold? Do we all want to see a Rogue Squadron movie? Like, to me, out of all those movies that got announced, even with the one with Ray sequel, I did not care. The movies for me was the Mando movie and the one about the early Jedi Order, about the First Order of the Jedi. Like, that was the two movies I was really excited for. When I knew Ray was coming back, I was like, I'll watch it, but it doesn't mean I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm all for the Ray train. Now, that sounds weird. I'm not excited for it at all, but for the Rogue Squadron, it looks to be a little bit different on what it's going to be the basis on. I don't need to go into too much detail. You guys know exactly what I mean by Rogue Squadron, X-Wings, everything involved. So, but at the same time, I would love to see a Star Wars film mixed with Top Gun. You take my money, Highway to the Danger Zone with X-Wings. You've got a money ticket right there. People will go for it. Get Tom Cruise involved. It will be an absolute winner. Now, that is the biggest news that's happened in the very past week. And right now, we are going to be diving into Halo Episode 7. So, this is the last episode, right before the last episode of Halo. This is the last episode. This is the second last episode before the end of Halo. And the last episode of Halo, is funny enough, is called Halo. And that is coming this week. And that is a wrap on season 2. So basically, the great thing about this episode was that we are like this close to seeing the series catch up to the video games for Halo, the first Halo game, and we are so close. So right now, we are getting a race between John going to the Halo to meet McKee and go to Halo because he needs to get there first. Mr. Mark my words. Still haven't seen an episode. Oh, Lord. I would honestly, Mr. Mark my words, I would love to get your take on the show. if you were to watch it all. So first season was 9 episodes. This is 8 episodes. I would love to get your take on this because this man is very critical. And he will tell you straight up what's this is outstanding and this is a piece of shit, which is why I love having him as a guest on the show, which is well overdue, my good sir. But it's, I tell you, and I've said this for the last few weeks about Halo. It's like you watch it and have a couple elements, you're like, yes, like this is great, this is awesome. And the next few bits, you're like, this is boring, this is shit. Oh, why have they done that? You know, if, and like, yes, it's not canon, but it's saying it's taking elements, it's trying to be true, half and half. So it's, I would love to hear from someone who doesn't anything know about Halo, doesn't play the video games. I would love to hear someone's take on the show and what they think. Now, I will say Halo Season 2 is an improvement compared to Season 1, but at the same time, we see John out of the suit more than compared to Season 1. But this episode, which we're going to get off his course, left, right, and center, spoilers. So if you haven't watched the show, get ready for now. So this episode starts off with McKee and John on Halo having the vision because they touched both the artifacts, which we saw at the end of episode 6. And they're talking. Even episode 6, they still haven't explained how did McKee come back after she got stabbed and died. It still hasn't been explained. I'm like, yes, I don't always need an explanation for, you know, why is the air and why is water blue, but when you have one of the main characters die and suddenly comes back the next season and nobody, like, he didn't, John's staying there and talking to her. I'm like, why haven't you asked, hey, nice to see you. I saw you die. How are you alive? Dead bird walking. What? We're just going to talk about Halo, which I don't mind. So they talk about Halo. They go and talk about they need to get there first. They have a connection. And that becomes a race on that end. At the same time, we find Eckerson does some research on the spike. Now, originally, in the last episode, the spike, as the Spartans were training, was just meant to, was meant to render the Covenant ships useless and they can't use them and cripple them. But Axiom Fire has found out the fact that not only does that, it's essentially a black hole bomb that this spike does because it overloads the hyperdrives in the Covenant ships, so it goes boom. So not only do they want to blow up the Covenant fleet and him with a punch, they also want to blow up Halo so no one can touch it. And of course, when your show is called Halo, it's based on the video games, based on the books, Halo ain't going anywhere, ain't going to blow up at all. Spoiler alert, there's more than one ring, so it's not going to happen at all. So this is where the break comes. So you're going to have Kai. She can't go with John. She goes with the Spartans, and they're going to go in that direction. And going to fight the Trident Spike. Kai knows this going in. She knows what's going to evolve because John and Kai confront Axon because he's the only one who knows where John's suit is. John gets the suit finally after for so long. Finally gets the suit, which is so effing annoying. Gets the suit and he goes on his own mission. Cortana is still with him technically, but we don't see Cortana talk to him at all. And then we also get with Halsey, Miranda, and Khan. Oh my God, just totally forgot her name. Quan. They get with them and they find this scientist that's died and they grab her research. And they find this massive city. Now, this scene was really good because of the fact that you saw the old, but you saw the Covenant, the Forerunner, very Halo-esque, the energy bridges, that was all really cool, very Halo-esque, loved it. That was really cool. And then obviously when they try and get away, because all the doors start shutting, and they show there's a giant city under this planet, and what this research could be. But you know, I have seen different rumors that this could be research. This could be research about the flood. Now, we haven't seen the flood all this season. We did see the flood for a little bit in the season one for one episode, but that was it. Whether or not they could be fully flooded is a little bit different, but we haven't seen the flood for this episode. Which, for anyone who doesn't know Halo and what flood is, flood is when you play Halo 1 and you have the mission where you meet the flood for the first time. It is a very scary mission. It is intense and will scare the absolute shit off you. No joke on how scary that is. I still remember that mission when I was playing as a kid. I was like, no. Loud music and everything. But nonetheless, for that. So that's going to be one thing that's going to be researched. Now, Miranda does open this little container that she does find about the scientist's research, which Miranda kind of does. Halsey kind of does the disappearing act because doesn't want to be with her, doesn't want to be too close to her daughter, even though her father just died three episodes ago. Doesn't want to be close to her at all, of course. So that's going on. And then with Axon, he also realized that Pelagoski is also what the Spartans were made. These new Spartan 3s were made, were basically meant to be disposable heroes. Metallica going into this. And right now, leading into episode 8, which is called Halo, we have potential of a massive bomb going off. Kai is separate from John. John's heading to the Halo. And obviously, they're going to stop at the UNSC. The Covenant's engaged in UNSC at the moment. And McKee's also going to be racing to the Halo. So I will be happy. I'll tell you, I'll strap. I will be happy if this next episode, this week's episode, ends like almost, what's that examine? Screen, scene for scene ends to the beginning of the Halo video games. And I'll be like, yep. Take my money. Where's season 3? We're not getting a season 3 for another 2 years. Season 3 has not been confirmed yet. I would be very surprised if they don't confirm this. I haven't seen what the viewership of the show has been, but it would be absolute silly if they end the show like this. And you got what? You got two seasons of a show leading up to them getting to Halo, and then you pull the plug, which we know has happened on multiple different shows. And multiple different have been cancelled and have been like that. And I just hope that doesn't happen this summer. I think it's a big thing for Paramount to have this show. And yes, it does have its hits and misses and disappointments and disappointments and disappointments and disappointments. But at the same time, we're not going to get the Halo movie while this is in production. So this is the best thing we're going to get, especially when the Halo franchise is currently in limbo. But I want to know, what did you think of the last episode of Halo? How would you want to see episode 8 end? Where do you want that lead to season 3? Do you think they should cut the cord and end the show right now and start again with a movie franchise? Or do you want to see the season continue? Again, all the acting is fantastic. Everyone's doing a great job. It's just annoying in that sense. But this episode, strong. Halo references, acting's good. This was an absolute win of an episode, and episode 8, I have no doubt, is going to be absolute banger, and I really hope it's going to be. But let's go into, which I was excited for this week and slightly forgot about it, Invincible is back, baby. Oh, shit. Invincible is back after the Christmas break. Yes, the break was very annoying. To say the least, it's very, very annoying to say the least that having this break, especially when we're getting this break and before Christmas, we only got 4 episodes. Guess what we're getting now? 4 episodes. And after this episode, we got 3 more weeks of this and that's it. And then we have to wait to season 3, which again, apparently the gap between season 2 and season 3 is going to be very small. So hopefully season 3 will come out at the same time as last year. So we're looking at roughly November, that we should get this episode. And I really do hope. Now, this episode, I will 100. Wow. If you, it's honestly so funny how this episode, I agree, Mr. Michael Words, stupid way of doing it. It's not a long season. That's why I don't get, it's not a long season to have that break of just four episodes. Like if you have, you know, six episodes and six on the other side, that's good. That gives different periods, but four seems really short to make a break. That's half a season, 4 weeks, and then it's over. That's it. Yes, episode four did end on a massive cliffhanger, but it just seems too short to make that break. And this episode was, yeah, they knew what they were doing this episode. This episode punches you in the mouth of all the characters that you love, hate, and what's going to happen next for the last three episodes. And I was at the end of it, I was like, oh my God. Like, there's so much that, this episode, so much to happen, and there's so much to resolve in this episode. And look, I have to tell everyone, if you're not watching Invincible, you are missing out. I don't care if someone comes up to me and goes, oh, I've got superhero fatigue, and it's all the bloody same. Shut the hell up. If you've watched The Boys, you'll like Invincible. Because Invincible is not like anything Marvel's doing or anything like DC's doing. This is brutal, punch you in the mouth. And yes, it does look like a nice, friendly type of show. No. No, it isn't. There is people getting swallowed at... So let me rephrase that. There is like Ant-Man characters getting swallowed and dying inside people's bodies. There is clones dying. There's people getting their hands ripped off. There is people's heads exploding. People getting shot left, right, and blood everywhere. Terminator action. Alien invasion. Alien parasite. I'm not joking. That's all happens in this episode. So we catch up with Mark and what he's been doing. He's been spending the last 2 months after whatever the events of episode four, helping rebuilding the Thraxons' homeworld. Now, during that time, his little brother's mother had aged rapidly because the Thraxons age rapidly a lot more faster than a human. So he's going to take him back to Earth with him, because they do make him a ship because they're fine on their own. So when he gets back to Earth, he's got to catch up with his mom. He's got to catch up with his girlfriend, Amber, and obviously the guy in the globe with Cecil, because obviously Cecil knows exactly what happened. He's like, how can I put this? He's like almost like a dick Nick Fury that cares. Like, I care, but at the same time, I will use you. So that little bit half and half. Mark's little brother, his mom's going to take care of him for a little while. Why he's going to go back into space, because there is a Mars ship with alien parasites coming to Earth. So he does see Amber very shortly, which we find out that she's been covering for him, and she looks like a bit distressed and looks very unenthused at the fact of what's happened. And she's very sad because, you know, her grandfather passed away, her boyfriend's a superhero, and he's disappearing for months at a time. And now he's going to go back into space to go fight these alien parasites, because we also find out the Shapesmith comes forward. I love this scene. He comes forward and says, I'm here to tell you, he's in front of the entire team. He's like, I'm going to come forward. I'm going to tell you that I'm actually a Martian. And no one says anything except for Cecil's like, of course, we know you're a Martian. We all know you are. And one of the other blokes, other characters is like, really? You all knew? God damn it. So he's like, we all know you're an alien. Why do you think we let you in the team so easily? And he tells him what's happened. And we find out that this entire alien invasion is because of him. And what's happening into this. So what's coming, because they can't penetrate the Martian skin, but they can penetrate humans, so they can take over and breed and everything moving forward. They can take over Earth. So Mark goes with the team. He recruits Eve. Recruits her and does some great character development on getting her back on the team. Now, I love that. That was great character growth on getting them back. Whoops, gotta get a drink. It was great seeing them back, and they're going to be going back to the team. So it's great seeing the Guardians of the Globe together again. Because it's been a while, I'd say about 4 episodes since we last saw them all together on Eve going on her own journey. So they shoot off onto that. But at the same time, what happens to Guardians of the Globe? The Lizard King goes and attacks a military base and tries to get some nuclear codes to threaten everybody. So the guys go to the leftover are going to fight them. Which is just Kate, which is she can duplicate her body, and Ray, which she can go really small, and she's like Ant-Man. So they go. They go take him. And they get beaten brutally. So bad they get beaten. It's ridiculous. And this is what happens. So Kate, she dies, all of her clones die, but at the same time, I was shocked when I saw it, but I thought, yeah, look, you could duplicate your body, so I have no doubt that you've probably got the original one of you is somewhere else, still making duplicates, but she died, and the Ant-Man girl, she went inside one of the guys because she got eaten, and she was going to expand and kill him. Unfortunately, she doesn't. The guy crushes her, breaks her bones, which you can hear, and brutal. And you can hear it, and then blood just pours out. Like, this is not a kid's show at all. And then Rex, who I mentioned, Rex was the one who recruited Eve, he gets his hand, like, right off, and that's pissing over the blood. And he's trying to survive, and then, unfortunately, King Lizard's got a gun to his head. Why that's also happening, Mark and the team are getting surrounded by these squid things and they're about to lose. Now, we have seen in the promo that a couple of the characters do get squids on them and be possessed. What's going to happen? That is a spoiler, but we saw it in the trailer. So we do that. And it's going to happen in next week's episode. So, but this episode, just so much happened. The team's back together. The team's in trouble. Half the team is dead now. Not to mention, Watson finds out he's partially terminated because Cecil didn't want to kill him and let him die after what happened with Omni Man. So he's going to be partially terminated now, and he's trying to reconcile the fact that that's happening, and why that's going on. We've also found out that Alan the alien is back and is jacked as shit, which made me think of like Super Saiyans. Like, what happens with Super Saiyans, of course, Dragon Ball Z, is that when they're in a near-death experience, they grow stronger because the cells in their bodies. That's what happened to Goku and Vegeta. And basically, that looks like what's happened to Alan, because he's jacked as shit, which we thought he was going to die. And on top of that, the old guy that's the voice by Optimus Prime removes his beard, and he's like, I'm actually a rogue Viltrumite, and you need to go get Mark and recruit him to fight against the Viltrumite army. Now, yes, Army Man was not in this episode, and there is mention, Mark does mention what happens to his books because he wants to find out what happens, because Army Man, right at the end of episode 4, is like, Mark, don't forget to read my books where I get my ass beaten. And we have seen him in the trailers that he will make more appearances. But there is 3 episodes left of this season. This episode was brutal, great acting, intense, and basically, how else could it? Everyone looks effed. Everyone is effed in this episode at the end of it, and up shit creek with Ash shattered out going into it. So you need to start watching this next episode. Episode 6, 7, 8, there's going to be a lot going on. The next last 3 episodes. And we haven't still have forgotten about the main villain for season 2 that's still lurking in the background, going around because of what happened in episode 3 or 2. So there's so much. But look, solid. I would say putting up Halo episode 7, Invincible season 2, episode 5, Invincible had the better episode from strength to strength from starting from start to finish. That's the best show. right now. Now, Halo again is ending next week. We got 3 episodes of Invincible season two, and I want to know, what did you think about Invincible? Are you happy the series is back? Are you shitty the fact there's only it's during the break, and then we get a bigger break again? Which I'm with you on that. I think it's just absolute shit and annoying the fact that that's happening. But I want to know. So definitely comment. Let me know what you like, what you didn't like. Let's rant about it. And as always, thank you for everyone who's came past in this episode. And until next time, happy ranting.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.